Welcome to the Real Talk Weekly podcast, where we discuss news, culture, life, and dive into deep conversations about our faith. Here's your host, Alan Reed.
Hey everyone, here's the lineup for today. Guess what? You're dead. No stupid people allowed and the Jesus Revolution. Today we have Allie and David here at the show, but no James.
Yep.
Where's James today?
He's working.
He got a little too busy, so...
He's a special assignment.
Yeah. We can't tell you. We can't tell you. It's a top secret church thing.
Yeah.
So very spiritual, I'm sure. So how are you guys doing? You doing well?
Yeah. Doing great.
I am excited. I love our articles. No stupid people allowed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Topic about a dead person. Not really.
We've been talking a lot about not dead people.
Yeah.
This one's a little more lighthearted than the last time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's cool. And then the movie, The Jesus Revolution, and we all saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
And so excited to talk about that. So we figured today to get warmed up, we would do something very 1970s-ish, and we are taking a quiz, a hippie quiz. What's your hippie name?
Hippie name.
Yes. So,
this
Allie,
is all based on science.
Yes. I'm sure it's going to be very accurate. So Allie's going to lead us through the questions. We've already answered probably 10 or 15, probably 15 questions already because it's long.
Yeah.
But how about you read us through them?
Okay? I would love to.
Okay.
All right. So we are taking the How Stuff Works quiz for hippies. All right, so the next question is, how much are you into mind-altering substances?
And by no means do we advocate for these things. This is just for fun.
Yeah,
mind-altering substances could be...
Coffee,
sugar. A huge gambit of things, yes.
Sugar, oh, I'm all about it.
The Lord?
Yeah, same, I'm all about it. Oh, wait, no, I'm going, they're all right. Next question.
All right, how good are you at going with the flow?
I am so good going with the flow. Like
Alan, I think you live in the flow.
I live in the flow. I don't like structure. Just let me wake up.
I'm going to say I'm pretty good. I strive to be better at it.
I didn't even see that option.
I love the flow. What did you put? Do you remember?
Absolutely not. okay, how adventurous are you?
Extremely.
I'm going to say slightly.
I think Ellen was a hippie.
Yeah.
He's smiling. Do you still have? Like, did you have bell bottoms?
No, that was before my time. Yeah. The bell bottoms.
Oh, okay.
He was born in 72.
Parachute pants. I had parachute pants.
Yeah.
He was born in 72. So yeah, I was alive. When
little
this was
baby
going on.
Bell bottoms, probably. Yes.
I could have been I wasn't a hippie baby. My parents they were the opposite.
They were
hippies.
Structured.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very structured.
Okay. Next question. How happy are you? Yikes.
I think I'm going to put
the hesitation somewhat is happy. Concerning.
Somewhat happy.
Or somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle, yeah. Usually I'd say happy, but.
How artistically talented are you?
I'm really good at doodling, so extremely talented. Scroll the next question.
Not all that talented.
What?
I can't play an instrument. I can't sing a song.
He does have trouble clapping on beat. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I can't color well with crayons.
All right. Well,
you missed that day of kindergarten.
I wasn't good in art.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. How much of a rebel are you?
I am not very rebellious.
Alan.
You know, that is it's all... according to perspective.
Well, there's one in here that you're going to answer, and it says, I'm rebellious in a peaceful kind of way.
There you go. Yeah, there we go.
That's actually what I said as well. And I'm starting to doubt myself. Anyways, how much are herbs a part of your daily life?
Herbs?
Herbsy fully loaded. It doesn't say. It doesn't say what kind of herbs.
Why? Yeah, because that's we eat herbs all the time.
That's what I answered. I'm always cooking.
Only
we're
if
answering
I'm
this the Christian okay. way.
Only if I'm smoking them. They're each part of my life. No. They're somewhat prevalent.
You can't click the smoking answer.
Yeah, we're not smoking these things.
I've never smoked an herb. I have tried cigarettes.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
But.
Anyways, how often do you shave?
I trim my beard.
Somewhat regularly.
That's what I put. I trim my beard.
Your beard, yeah.
Okay. How regularly do you shower or bathe?
Oh, man. Every day. Sometimes twice.
This is a little
whenever
they're kind of painting like hippies as like really nasty.
Yeah. Whenever
sometimes
I think they were. Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They kind of give me disciple vibes.
Yeah.
You know?
John the Baptist vibes.
Yeah, sure. Okay, last question. Where would you ideally like to live? And just for those listening, the answers are in a commune, in the suburbs, on a homestead in the middle of nowhere, or in a spiritually minded community.
Homestead.
Homestead, for sure.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Okay.
Mine's so cool.
Mine's lame.
Much David, better
you
than
go
earlier.
First. We'll start lowest of the totem pole.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so you said yours was lame.
Yeah. So I got sunshine.
I don't think it's lame.
But that reminds me of Remember the Titans, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sunshine, he was a hippie sunshine. Too.
Yeah, it's true.
What's up, sunshine?
Brian Gosling.
Yeah, he's
young
so
Gosling
cute.
In that.
That makes it sound like that
Gosling.
You wake up
he's
happy.
An actual Gosling.
You're not a morning person, are you?
No.
Yeah, you're the opposite.
So this is this description. It says you live your life straight from the heart and lighten up people's days with your positive attitude and great sense of humor. You love your very deeply and express your love very openly to all those around you. Your energy is primarily feminine.
I agree with that. Everything, that's so you. Everything up until that point, I don't see as feminine.
Okay.
No. You're very masculine.
Yeah. I put very masculine on the early one, but I don't know.
They didn't agree.
No, they didn't. They're like, this is not you.
I'm going to go get some lumber and build something.
Allie, what
this.
Was yours?
I got Phoenix.
Wow. Mm-hmm. From the ashes.
Wow.
You are rising from the ashes of difficulty and emerging to soar to new heights.
I love it.
Oh, man. You possess a masculine energy with an artistic flair.
Wow.
I'm kind of tough, you know?
Maybe. Sure.
You are fairly grounded, but you have a fiery personality and are usually the first to lead the charge towards what you believe is right. You're not all that drawn to most of the alternative spiritual practices, but you don't mind altering your mind from time to time. This doesn't feel like me.
No, it's not. There's a couple things in there that I could
Yeah. But you're
I no longer
fun.
Agree.
You're fun. I wouldn't say Thanks, fiery. Alan. You're just like a
I took
person.
Another quiz. Maybe I could just say that to have a better, you know,
like
Celestial. Celestial was my other name.
That is good.
I'd rather go with that
my
one.
My last one was Melody, and I'm like, I don't
Alan's like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, mine was Atlas on the other quiz.
That one's cool.
Yeah.
Except I've got the whole world on my
You
want to
hear mine? Mine was Wolf.
Wolf?
You love wolves.
Yes, I do. I'm like, yeah. So, as a lone wolf type, you are drawn to freedom and going your own way in this life. You have a deep affection for the natural world.
Yep.
And so this one seems pretty
That's
accurate
pretty much
and
dead.
Serve as a strong defender of the environment. Not so much, which you hold very sacred. Your energy.
I don't know.
Is,
you're hanging out and mountain biking.
You
almost
love your
every
mountains.
Week.
I do. Yeah. Your energy is primarily masculine and you are all about taking action and helping to bring about positive change in the world. While you enjoy,
I'm sad I didn't say like positive vibes.
Yeah.
While you enjoy the company of others, you thrive outside the wilderness on your own. I like being with people, like mountain biking alone or skiing alone, kind of boring. So I like people.
Yep.
I like people more than this.
I also appreciate that this quiz gave us like physically what we should look like.
Yeah, mine's dreads with the guy going sticking his tongue out.
Yeah.
I think we should recreate these photos.
I look pretty hot.
A man bun.
I have a man bun.
On the ocean.
Yeah.
You look like Lenny Kravitz or Prince.
Thank you.
Looks like.
Thank you so
mine
much.
Mine looks like, mine's not very
Sunshine.
Good. Yeah. You look like that the guy that was on American Idol with the dreads.
Oh, gosh. What was his name?
I don't know. He's a Christian.
Gosh. I know who you're talking about. And
he's
I know
cool.
One listener would be very disappointed that I don't know this because she had a huge crush on him.
Yeah.
Gosh, what was his name?
I don't know.
Anyways. Who are you talking about? Christian guy?
Actor? From American Idol back in like 2005.
There's been a couple of Christian singers.
Just look up American Idol dreads and I'm sure you'll find it. Anyways.
Jason Castro.
Yeah, there it is. Jason Castro.
Yeah. Jason, if you listen, hey.
I look like you, apparently.
As a hippie. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was. Very cool. It's time for the dish. All right. So let's start with Sunshine. Why don't you share
Sunshine.
Yeah, tell us about your
peace and blessings.
Your article.
Okay, your dad, so now what? We apparently. Man, I say that a lot. We like to talk about people dying. Apparently, so, but this is not someone dying.
No.
So we know this is not a political statement, but we know that the government has a lot of, you know, power over our lives, whether that's paying taxes or laws and things like that. Well, there's a poor bloke from the United Kingdom who got a letter from the government saying that he was dead.
Man,
I hate when that happens.
Shock. Yes, what a shock! You get a letter in the mail and says it just says you're dead.
You're dead. But like you are.
Yeah.
Not even spelled out. Just you are dead.
Yeah, it's like The Office. So it's like it is your birthday. You are dead. So this guy got this letter, and to prove that he was not dead, had to go to his general practitioner to prove that he wasn't dead.
Man. Honestly, though.
Like it's like one of those where you have to have a doctor's note to miss work. You had a doctor's note to say that you're not deceased.
You could get away with a lot if the government thought you were dead, right?
True. This person said that his GP said that he should take advantage of this and like get his life support money.
Oh.
Just saying.
Wow.
It's their fault, not his.
But you know, I bet his bank accounts went down too, because when you're dead, you don't have any money.
Well, it usually goes to your loved one.
No, I read it on a Facebook comment.
If you have a living will, then it goes to your spouse or to your kids. So no, they don't just take it. So all your money. Yeah.
Well, just
because your family.
The good thing is this man is obviously not deceased, and he's living out his life with his dog named Puggles.
Oh, Puggles. Mm-hmm.
It has a nice picture of this pug.
Yeah.
Named Puggles.
Puggles was probably concerned.
I mean, he's what? That's probably what he was thinking.
That was a great
pug impression.
Yeah, it was really good.
Most people say I look like a pug, so we're good.
He kind of looks like a pug.
He does?
Mark.
He was a poor bloke.
Mark Cusack. No relation to John or Joan.
Joan. Yikes.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. So just in case, if you do get a letter from our government saying that you is dead, you might have to go to your...
Confirm that you're not.
Thank goodness they informed him of it. You know what I mean? Just imagine if you did not get...
Yeah, that makes me wonder, why would they send him a letter saying that he was dead?
Does every dead person get a letter saying they're dead?
I don't think so.
There's no way.
I get my dad's
Maybe in the
mail.
UK, though.
We haven't got anything on my dad that says that you're dead.
I bet it's the UK only.
Yeah.
It sounds very British.
Yeah.
It sounds very government, very polite, as in like.
Maybe it was you are dead? The question mark at the end?
It didn't.
Can you verify that you're dead? Check here.
Check
here. Mail it back, please. What's the purpose?
Yeah, what's the purpose
of this?
That's
weird.
Anyways.
It sounds like it could be a UK country song.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the makings for a country
song.
Check
yes or no.
But British.
But British, yeah.
That's kind of country British.
Yeah. What was that? I don't know.
Country twang. Okay.
Anyways, right. That is a lighthearted.
Yes.
That was super lighthearted.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the pizzeria and no stupid people allowed.
I love this story. Okay. So coming out of Ohio, which poor Ohio, just in general, as a whole state right now, you know, my sister lives there and it is beautiful, but just poor Ohio. Anyways, this pizzeria, I think it's family owned, and they decided to post a sign. They've had it out for a couple months, and it says, now hiring non-stupid people. They've had some issues with very incompetent people applying, and they're just tired of it. And then they also have a lot of people, I guess, who have come on staff who just aren't willing to work. And so they're really frustrated with having to do this. So they just put it out there. We're not looking for any stupid people. And people got heated about it. They are...
To be fair, that's kind of mean.
It is kind of... I mean, if you think you're stupid, though, you're not going to apply.
It had the same reaction as wearing masks or...
A lot of people... Loved it.
Loved it or hated
and
it.
I mean, they actually have a lot more business now since they put the sign out than they had before. Hmm. So maybe it was a good marketing.
People love controversy.
Yeah. And they
Bad press
answered.
Is better than no press.
That's right. Well, It depends. But they answered and said it was really just for humor and we're really tired of getting people in here who don't want to do the work. And I'm like, I understand it. So they did what they had to do. I think they did have a customer who was super offended by it and called in ordering $100 worth of pizzas and never had plans to pick it up. They called him back. He spoke down to one of their employees. And so they just... it backfired on him. They went and donated all those pizzas to homeless people.
Awesome.
And helped feed the community. And so I'm all for Santino's Pizzeria in Ohio.
Whoever's the PR manager for Santino's, what is that? Santino's. Santino's is really killing it.
Yeah. I doubt they have a PR person.
It's like the same person who's behind the Wendy's Twitter account.
Yeah.
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 What does it say about you if you get really angry at that sign? Does it say you're stupid?
You might be.
No, I mean, to be fair, to play devil's advocate here, it's not very nice to just call people stupid.
That's true.
No, but it's funny sometimes, I guess. I mean,
wow, Alan. Stupid.
That's how I like to say
you're
it.
Such a wolf.
It was obviously meant to be silly. You know what I mean? It was obviously meant to be a joke, you know? Yeah. But at the same time, I guess there's a grain of truth to it, as in, like, look, we're only wanting serious applicants. If you're just wanting.
To be fair, there's a better way to word that. Yes.
Yeah.
But to be fun,
incompetent people.
Yeah.
The way to attract stupid people.
but that's a better way to do it because if you're not very smart, you might not know what it means.
True. But what about what was it? McDonald's here locally months ago during COVID, like a $500 sign-on fee if you wanted to work at McDonald's.
Bonus. You had to pay $500.
It was a bonus. It was a bonus. What did I say? It was a fee.
No application
you're
fees.
You're an idiot.
You're not applying
don't
for that job.
Don't come with it, Santino. Right. They don't want you.
But yeah, so it's like if you want a bunch of dumb people to show up and they just want their money and run. Mm-hmm. So
I thought it was funny.
Oh, me too. It was awesome. It was good. Good job, guys.
Just don't be mean. That's the
thing. Yes.
Peace and love, you know?
Yeah.
Peace and love. Good. Good segue.
I don't give high fives. I give high twos. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Peace.
Right there, buddy.
Yeah. It's the deep dish.
So,
all right, let's move on.
Transition, the deep dish. So, we're all about the Jesus Revolution movie.
Yeah.
So what y'all think? I'm all about it.
It was good.
It was so good.
It was really
good. I'm fired up. I thought it was good. Okay.
Maybe first background. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you that are hiding under a rock and you haven't heard that there's a movie out called Jesus Revolution, it is a movie that's based on a true story of a pastor by the name of Chuck Smith and a hippie evangelist named Lonnie Frisbee and how God had used them and I guess their church as well as a big part of the revival that happened in the the 1960s and early 70s. And thousands of young people, a lot of hippies came to Christ during that time and churches were planted and it moved all throughout the United States, but even I read it's South America into Europe. Mm-hmm. So made a huge impact around the world. So really fun movie.
Yes.
A lot of good humor.
Yeah.
Kind of the squares against the hippie kind of thing.
The fun part is we went in as a team to see it. So media and comms went to see it and we went and saw it and the whole theater was full of older folks, which made the movie so much better.
Oh.
Because you had at one time when they're like, amen. Like, it was like preaching. It was really funny.
They had something to say about pretty much everything.
Yeah, they did.
You're talking about the crowd?
Yes.
The crowd. Yeah. They were amening.
They were vocal.
They were vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fun.
And just this one right here always gets me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They definitely were disapproving of some of the actions of the hippies at points. Yeah. So.
Nice.
But they probably
but
remember
they were.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were.
They were probably some of the hippies.
Maybe.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But if you ever want to go to the movies at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday, packed with older people.
Yeah. Mm.
It was fun. It really was.
It really was fun. It's one of those where if you go to a kid's movie with a bunch of kids in it, it makes it way better.
Yeah. Yep.
It was one of those those times.
Yep.
So what did you think about the movie? Think about, you know, you guys are in communications, you're in, video editing and all that. So from a level of creativity and all that, what did you think of the movie?
I thought for a movie not segmenting it into like a Christian film. I thought it was phenomenal just across the board for a movie. It blows all the other Christian films out of the water. Yeah. Like it just, it stands alone for me. And I felt like trying to get so much story into like 2 hour time frame, I thought they did a phenomenal job. Yep. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I thought it was really well done. Music was great. Yeah, I thought the soundtrack was really good. He had some really good stuff in there.
And smart.
Yeah, it was really good. And I really enjoyed the fact that it wasn't like too on the nose Christianity. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not to say bad things about like Facing the Giants and things like that, but they were just like way too cheesy. Like,
yep.
I'm a Christian, you know, like, yep. And it was just, it was, it was good. I thought they did a really good job of portraying the characters well enough to where it wasn't, there was times where it was a little cheesy, but I mean,
we have to admit it. We are a little cheesy at times.
We're cheesy folk.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're trying to live righteous and everything.
Righteous.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It was fun to watch. I just loved it was raw. It did not seem plastic.
And I will say, do not take your kids to see the movie. So it's more geared towards an adult.
Yeah,
because there are pretty intense scenes in there that are like,
dealing with like psychedelics and
that and drugs and things like that.
But like a 13-year-old could go.
Yeah. But
I think it's rated PG-13.
I would definitely not take anybody younger than that.
Yeah. Yep. So what stood out to you? Like when you left that movie, what was it like? This was impactful. This stood out to me. And
I really liked the fact that, you know, from looking up Greg Laurie's story and how he like presents the gospel, he's really big on God using flawed people to... Mm-hmm. You know, expand the kingdom. And that is something that is really, really portrayed in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is God using just flawed people to be able to share the gospel in a powerful way, using their testimonies as ways to show how God has worked in their lives. And I think that was the big part that they weren't afraid to show some of the ugliness of being a human and being trying to find out what truth is. And that was really cool. I thought that was really done well.
Yeah. I didn't know much about this, honestly. Like, it wasn't taught in school, mm-hmm. which is weird to me because it was a huge movement and it's a part of history.
Yeah.
And my parents were not old enough to like share that with me. They were little kids when it was happening. So this was my first real exposure to it. And I loved seeing the dynamic between young, like teenagers, young adults, mm-hmm. and their parents. Two totally different generations trying to figure out, like, as a believer, where do I fall in this? Mm-hmm. And then struggling to communicate that with their parents. And it was neat the way that they told that story. And I'm sure it was painful for a lot of parents, you know, as they're raising up their children or teenagers during that time. So I thought that was a fascinating part.
Yeah.
And we might spoil some stuff too.
Yeah.
We should just put that out there.
Yeah.
Could be spoiler alerts.
There is like a huge generational gap between parents and kids at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, that, you know, really portrayed that well. And I didn't think about it. I used to think that, you know, like previous generations were much more innocent than the current generation. And that's, you know, typically how I always thought my parents' generation, they were kind of innocent and everyone kind of. But no, it's not that way.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean,
probably was
what Ecclesiastes say, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we see that here.
It just looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two things, you guys named two things that stood out to me were that. I think also just highlighting the hunger, the spiritual hunger during that time.
Yeah.
And the way that Lonnie Frisbee spelled it out was, I thought was beautiful. These young people are really looking for all the right things in all the wrong places. I don't know if that's a direct quote, but that's basically what he was saying. It was like, yeah, they really are. They're looking for love, acceptance, community. They're looking for something deeper in life, but they didn't see that the church or Christianity was really offering that. Mm-hmm. And you saw
be honest, they weren't.
No, there was such a huge gap, not only between generations, but between the current church and, you know, where the younger adults were.
Yeah.
Church seemed stiff almost, or the way at least that they portrayed it. Not as much as I can obviously know right. about it, but it seemed very traditional almost. Yeah. And you don't raise your hands in worship. You have the five hymns of the day, and that's that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So,
yeah. What also stood out to me was just Pastor Chuck. I mean, it was like,
yeah.
he really, that tension, you felt the tension mm-hmm. of, man, this excitement, and it like hit his heart just seeing these young people who were open to the gospel, who were sincere in their searching. And of course, Lonnie, you know, really portrayed someone who understood, you know, and grasped the gospel. He was impacted by the gospel, but yet he was, you know, hippie all the way, mm-hmm. right? And so, but just the struggle that he had, because he really had to let go of his current church to be able to minister. Mm. It's like if he held on to one, he would not be able to care for the others. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, you just felt that tension.
As a pastor, do you mm-hmm. feel like you could have done something like that? I mean, just mm-hmm. can you kind of go yeah. into more like the weight that carries for you?
Yeah. I mean, in church planting, I think that probably most people that have gone into church planting, you like identify with yeah. this. The reason yeah. why you go into church planting for a lot of reasons is because more of a missional, evangelistic kind of desire. Even though it happens, you don't ever start a church, or hopefully you never start a church with the idea of, man, I can just kind of gather Christians mm-hmm. from all these other churches.
Yeah.
Right. You're really wanting to reach, you know, into the lostness of a community. And so you definitely feel a tension. And you guys have heard me share it before, but we had similar type of dynamics. We were mm-hmm. reaching some Christians, but we had people who were very lost. You know, we had a gentleman that struggled with his own gender identity, and he would come in a dress and pink hair, and that was very offensive for church members. We had a lady that was involved in Wicca, and so she yeah. identified herself as a witch. That's the way she introduced herself. And so it was exciting and fun, and it was hard, and it was messy. Mm-hmm. And at times we had people who just left our church because, like, mm-hmm. why are you allowing this guy dressed up in a dress and pink hair, you know, mm-hmm. coming to the church? And it was offensive to them. So yeah, I definitely identified with Pastor Chuck and just the messiness, but it was also neat just to see the beauty of how God really, you know, took a church, you know, and did something beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a book, one of my favorite books is called The Prodigal God mm-hmm. by Tim Keller. Mm-hmm. And that really speaks a lot to how most of our churches are older brother churches culturally. And so when a younger brother rebellious type comes to the church, it's really hard for them to integrate mm-hmm. in there. And so we did a poll at our church. We had everyone read the book, and I did mm-hmm. a sermon series based off of that book. And we were like 60-40, 40% older brother, 60% younger brother. But I would say the average church is probably 75% older brother. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that a lot of pastors, a lot of people can identify with the tension mm-hmm. and how some of your church members are really have a difficult time with change. And I'm not talking about change of the word of God.
The doctrine.
Yeah, doctrine. It's the form. Yeah. How we're performing ministry.
And I guess that raises the question, do you think there is a time and place for more disciplined worship and not necessarily attire and things like that, but just you could see portrayed in the movie, there was a lot of looseness to mm-hmm. how things went in a church service. Mm-hmm. I mean, us as Southern Baptists, we have a very, you know, scheduled service, how things flow and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you saw that with the tension between Chuck and Lonnie later on in the movie yeah. where Lonnie was trying to be more, I guess, spiritual, yeah. where Chuck was trying to keep it, his mm-hmm. ministry, you know, mm-hmm. structured. Do you think there is a time and place for that? Because I feel like a yeah. lot of people will come away from watching that too and having that you know, fight within themselves, like saying, yes, we should be acceptive of all people because we are all sinners and we all deserve.
Yeah. That part's clearly yeah, true. That part to me is like a no-brainer.
Yep.
Everyone should be accepted. God God loved us where we were at when we were yet sinners, and we ought to do the same thing.
I guess my question would be like, is there anything wrong with having the other side being more structured in your eyes as a pastor?
You're talking about like the worship service itself.
Or just it's like the church discipline and having a structure to a church rather than it just being open like that.
Yeah, I think that there's...
It's two different strategies for sure on how to reach. One is more seeker and the other one is... Is more.
I think that every church ought to have attributes of both, and it may be different services can be different ways. You know what I mean? I think structure is really helpful and good, and especially in a church like ours where you're having three services and everything has to be timed, and it's really hard to just say, "All right, this service is going great and the Spirit's flowing," and so you got people. You got 1,000 people who are waiting to come in, or 500 people waiting to come in for the next service. So that's kind of the downside of kind of the mega church where you have that. And it's like, you know, you, but God still works through that format and through that structure.
Right.
But yeah, there ought to be some time where there's a little bit more free flowing form.
Because, so, you know, reading through like the Bible structure that I'm going through like read through the year. Getting through like Leviticus and all these rules for the sacrifice and rules for how the church is even supposed to be built. It's very structured, like down to the measurement. And so it's hard for me to reconcile sometimes where you can just be free and open to the Spirit, but also God wants us to have a very structured and meaningful way of and thoughtful process of coming to Him in worship. But I feel like there's a struggle between that in me, because I'm like, then if you're too structured and scheduled, and then but that's probably a different conversation for later. But
no, that's a really good one.
I feel like it's,
I love it.
I feel like that was something that in the movie felt like there could be something there.
I think that there's
didn't
a time
really
and
play
place.
On, but
I think it's both. I think you need both. I think there's a time and place for structure. There's a time and place for freedom, and it's kind of like one of the topics that I have that I don't know if we can delve into it, but if there's a true movement of God in our country, it's probably not going to fit neatly in anyone's box.
That's true.
It's not going to fit in the Southern Baptist box, but it's also not going to fit in maybe a more charismatic box or this or that. It's going to be a surprise and a little bit curious to everybody. I mean, in Acts chapter 2, just imagine if we were to sit there and observe everything that went on there, we wouldn't fully understand it.
No.
You know, and it would seem a little bit more charismatic to us from the outside looking in. And but then again, you great example in the Old Testament. I mean, there was some very structured, you know, I guess instructions.
That's a good way to put it. It was very instruction built on how to worship God down to the sacrifice. And I mean, you could have the argument of like when Jesus came to fulfill that through his death and resurrection, the church age changed the way that we worship changed. But I still think that there's points, because Paul talks about church discipline and church structure and church like deacons and things like that. And so elders and, I just find it interesting.
In that way, I think that there is some form, you know, in that. I was thinking more in the worship service
that
itself.
Too, like, I don't know if there's any scripture in the New Testament that really dictates how worship should be held.
Well, it says it ought to be orderly.
Okay.
You know, and it does talk about, like, there was the concern of spiritual gifts and even speaking in tongues and different things.
That's true.
And so there was definitely some issues going on in the early church where it's like, we need to dial this back a little bit. Church service ought to be orderly and everything. One thing that's interesting that goes with your question is you had different denominations spawn out of this.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the Calvary Chapel, which was like, all right, I think we need a little bit more form. We need a little bit more structure. And what was it? I was reading something about it. I know like Lonnie Frisbee and a lot of others kind of moved it in a different direction, where you have your what are the name the type of churches like Foursquare denomination and there's another one that they're out in Colorado quite a bit, but a more charismatic bent. And so where Chuck their church denomination went with a little bit more of the structure and a little bit more even though it was still charismatic bent, a little bit more of a reined in charismatic.
Well, I'm sure that kind of led from his upbringing and an original.
Yeah.
The structure of the how church went.
Yeah.
But I find all that interesting. You know, like I find it, because I feel like us as Southern Baptists can easily kind of just forget that the Spirit can move.
Yeah. And we definitely fall on the structure side.
Yeah. We are really, really structured in the way that we do things. And it's not bad, but I think it can easily put us in a box. Like you said earlier, just like we kind of forget that the Spirit can do more than we can ever think or imagine.
Yeah. And that kind of is a good segue into today and what's happening in our culture right now. And everyone's really hopeful. Is the Asbury University and everything going on? Is it a revival? Is it not? I mean, we've already named it Asbury Revival. I mean, that's kind of like the topic. And the fear is, are you labeling something way too soon? Is it truly a revival? It seems to have aspects where there's a lot of potential for it to be a revival. You do hear of things happening in at other universities, but I think that there obviously needs to be a wait and see approach. But you get a lot of different opinions on this, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, people's just struggling with, this doesn't fit in my paradigm. Some of it does, some of it doesn't. I mean, someone having a demon cast out of them in the middle of one of their services, it sounds like that really happened. That doesn't fit the paradigm of a lot of churches.
Right.
But, I mean, when you think biblically, it's like, that's biblical. People, you know, Jesus cast demons out.
Yeah.
You know, that really has happened.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, but in a service, in a church service?
Yeah, well, there was...
Maybe if there's someone demonic in there, you know?
Yeah, there was a demon scene, possessed. Scene in the movie... Later on in the movie,
I got
my hand, my palms got sweaty, and you could tell in the movie,
I'm even
Chuck
like
was getting
cringing
like,
thinking about it. Because
you could see that, you know, like, I don't want to ruin it for people, but the whole Lonnie starts kind of taking over on that thing, and where you can kind of see his character arc moving in a different direction.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that where I'm like, when people I know as Southern Baptists are going to go and watch that movie, they're going to pinpoint that point in the movie and think, oh man, this was wrong. Like this is bad. And you're like, ah, but is it, you know, like,
I know. And the movie does a good job of answering. That I felt like,
cause there was a negative side to it. There was some fleshliness in what Lonnie was trying to do, you know? And so, yeah, that was really interesting.
It was interesting.
You know, my son and I had a conversation afterwards. We're sitting at home and talking about the movie. And he goes, Dad, I see a lot of Chuck and you. We're talking about church planting and everything. And I definitely identified with the movie. But I admitted to him, I said, but I also saw a little bit of Lonnie in me as well. And I think that in the fact that when you're young and you're a pastor, this is why like churches that really like just blow up in a good way, like just grow really fast, and you have a young pastor that maybe is not mature enough to handle the success of that, and you're just like, oh, you get really worried for a pastor like that. And the older I get, the more I think about that. I'm like, boy, that church is, God's doing some amazing things. I hope that pastor is grounded and has people around him. And, you know, we have a story where we didn't have a church that just, you know, went gangbusters like that. But our first church plant we were a part of, where I was the lead pastor, there was, looking back, there was a lot of fleshliness in that, trying to prove myself and my own giftedness and leadership and all that kind of stuff. And so we had a good talk about that. I think if everyone's honest, you know, they can see some of the humanity in their ministry.
Coming back to, you know, this concept of like, is this Asbury Revival potentially the beginning of the next Jesus Revolution? I even wonder, I mean, the Jesus Revolution got its name due to an article written about it.
If
that had never happened, what would we have called it?
Yeah.
And I think they might have verbalized it being a pocket of revival as it was happening. But I don't, you know, I mean, we're hearing now things from Asbury, you know, as the revival there is ended, but things are going on across different church campuses and college campuses across the globe now. And at this point, there's enough social media coverage that things could be happening globally, and we just You know, we don't know. Sometimes that stuff that is shared out of America doesn't get shared back from other countries just for safety reasons and stuff. So I don't know that we can say it's the same way that it's starting, but yeah. I do think there's something going on. And I say that because if we focus in kind of, and obviously none of us, well, sorry, David and I weren't alive to know really what happened, but things that were going alive. On, you were just barely, yep. just barely. Things that were going on in the 70s. So you did have a lot of this, like the sexual revolution and this hippie movement, and obviously drugs and everything were part of that. All of those things are directly against morality. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of fighting against morality. And I think we still see that today. And man. Even maybe what we're going to say as more so, but we didn't live in that time, yeah. you know, to really compare the two. So
it seems really similar.
It does. There's a huge very attack.
Similar.
Yeah.
We have a, like you said, the sexual revolution. Well, now it just looks differently. Mm-hmm. Now it's not a sexual revolution. It's more of a, well, maybe you would call it that. Some people would call it in a positive way. It's a sexual revolution. Maybe for those of us as Christians, we see it as a sexual and gender confusion, you yeah. know, is a way we would label it. But others would be like, no, man, it's freedom, right? Yeah. And so I see so many overlaps. And I'm almost like just amazed at how similar the 70s is. And yeah. that it really was just as far. Maybe less so on some of the sexual, like, you know, I'm sure that there was an LGBTQ movement back then yep. too, but that's like what's magnified today, right? Mm-hmm. Where there was just probably more promiscuity between predominantly men and women, right?
Yeah.
And premarital sex and drugs and all that kind of stuff. But gosh, it's just like, if you were to describe that time from a Christian worldview, lost, hopeless, dark, but seeking and open. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's how I describe today.
Yeah.
And the quote, you know, where it's like young people who are looking for all the right things in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. That was what Lonnie said to Chuck, you know, early on, and that your doors are closed. And I'm just like, man, that's how good description of today.
Yeah. yeah. And it's been a gut check for me. Not that this movie revolutionized me, but it was a gut check because I think I've grown callous to yeah. a lot of like things that are going on in the yeah. world. And there are a couple of people in the film that I could identify with at different points in my life. I've seen myself reflected in them as characters. But also, you know, I struggle a lot with this. If we are open to having people, and this is always my prayer, is that people who don't look or think or act like believers come into the church. They yeah. want to be here. They have a desire to find more. Whatever they're looking for, they try to find it here. But if that were to happen, and am I open to that? Right. Am I welcoming without being affirming? And so yeah. this movie was a good way for me to visualize what a church today could look like. And being open to having people come in. Yeah. And it kind of changed, I mean, in the movie, it changed their service completely.
Yep.
And like you said, it wasn't divisive, but there were people who could not, honestly, they probably didn't have enough faith.
Yeah.
And that's what made them leave the church. And yeah. so, I don't know, it was just a good gut check for me. And I liked to see it mm-hmm. and know that history repeats itself. And yeah. so something like that could happen again today.
Yeah, I think the politics of today has, you know, and everything's just very polarized. We see the other side as enemies, you know yeah. what I mean? Politically, primarily politically. And so it's like so hard. It would be so hard for someone that's left-leaning politically to go to a lot of churches, because a lot of churches are right-leaning politically. And very adamantly so. And so you enter into that is like, would be like entering into enemy camp. And mm-hmm. so that's why I struggle so much with politics in the church. Mm-hmm. In Colorado, where it's predominantly left-leaning politically, you just can't do it. I mean, mm-hmm. you would have no church. You mm-hmm. would just have this little holy huddle of people. So we had rules. We're like, don't talk about politics when you're in small group meetings at home. Just don't bring it up. Focus on the Word of God.
Yeah.
And leave your politics at home, because for some reason, Republicans, even in a very liberal state, assume everyone in that circle, because they're, quote, all at church and believers. that they agree. Mm-hmm. And that goes on a little bit here, even in our church here in the South. You know, and sometimes it's a generational difference, but sometimes it's politics being brought in, especially with masks and the whole thing that happened with COVID really became a divisive issue, and which is really sad. But
and I think it's interesting to point out the when we talk about revival and revival of our country, I think it's important for us to realize that might not always lead to change in how our policies and politics will happen. Like, don't measure a revival or awakening by how it affects our policies, because
this one didn't.
This one didn't. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, like, you could say the 80s and the 90s were very more conservative on religion, and especially leaders in religion or political leaders with religious ideologies. But I honestly don't think that'll ever happen again. Yeah. Like, I just don't. I don't see it happening. And maybe I'm a pessimist on that, but I think it's important for us to realize, you know, like, revival and awakening in some one person's life is more important than it changing policy. I think that, because if we look at it as an opportunity to share the gospel and really change people's lives, maybe that will lead to change in how our country is. But I think as the world gets closer and closer to Jesus coming back, whenever that is, I think it's just going to keep getting worse. And I think we've talked about that before. We just don't think it's probably going to get better before, you know, things change. But, you know, I have a hard time believing, like, I can think of, like, maybe in the baby boomer generation of, like, them looking at it like the people in the movie, like, these people need a shower, these people need Jesus kind of thing. And, you know, I don't know, I'm rambling, but I just, it's hard to see that and quantify a revival by it not changing policy. And I don't think that's right.
Well, we don't know if it changed or not. I mean, it may have changed it. It could have been maybe a lot worse without that revival. And so we don't know how much it's changed policy. It definitely changed a lot of lives and a lot of people that did not grow up in church. It changed generations within a family tree.
Yeah.
We know that to be true. And so I just think that our motivation, obviously, is the transformation of a life, the transformation of people.
And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like that's more important to measure this if it ever is to expand just outside of the South as we're seeing in different college campuses. It's more important for us to celebrate life change than a change of policy and politics and things like that.
Yeah, and there are churches and movements and theologies that do focus on the changing of government and changing of policy and structure.
Yeah.
And not so much through the movement of in the individual life through salvation, but through political means. And that's really sad, but that's a whole other topic.
I think the movie portrayed that well, because at the beginning you could see all these people were like, you know, your typical hippies, you know, what the ideology of, like, anti-war, peace only.
Peace and love, yeah.
Yeah. And then as they change throughout the movie and go towards this Jesus revolution, it's becoming more of, how can I share the gospel with other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or how can I bring my family to hear this gospel rather than just let's, you know, riot against war and things like that, which comes with, you know, because as Christians, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Yeah. But it's, the ideology and the what they're pushing for changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
I also think it's fascinating. Now I have context of a lot of these things, but I love 70s music, and that's what my parents played. I mean, we go on road trips, that's all we listen to. And so it's been fascinating for me to understand some of these lyrics that I've sang my whole life. Now I know who they're written about, like Jesus Freaks in the Streets. that is a direct writing of what's going on here. And so the culture even shifted, and there are things that we enjoy today or think about because of the Jesus Revolution. And it just never even struck me. I just always thought, oh, it's just somebody approached Elton John and tried to share the gospel with him, and he didn't like it, you know, or whatever. But it's, and that's just one example, but I mean, there's so many just, I don't know, bits of overlap where you can see the culture coming for the Jesus Revolution. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's those same people who were seeking and they just didn't find what they were looking for. Mm. And I think that is so sad. Yep. And that's something that I want to be sensitive to as our times change, is that we see culture now doing the same thing, you know, as the revival's going on, people are going to call it out and they're going to say whatever they're going to say about mm-hmm. it. And yep. so to be sensitive to those people, yep. Because what they're looking for, that door hasn't been opened for them. They haven't found it yet. And so it's just been interesting for me to have those connections that I can make now. So
yeah. When you were talking about that, I was listening and looking up a verse, and because I think with any movement, you have to have people who are radical mm-hmm. and who are actively going out and sharing their faith and going, I'm going to share my faith with Elton John.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because that's it made me think about in Acts 17:6. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason, some of the brothers, before the city authority, shouting, these men have turned the world upside down, have come here also. So it's just mm-hmm. like these early disciples were so radical in their ministry, and they were going out and people were coming to faith. And it was just like, from the outside looking in, it's like these people are messing up what's happening here. They are, you know, disturbing mm-hmm. the peace. Mm-hmm. They're turning our world upside down. And there was probably a form of that going on in California at that time when those songs were yeah. being written.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, I think that the disciples could have been our first
hippies.
Exposure to hippies. Yeah. They were hippies.
I wonder what their hippie names would have been.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll do that test later.
It is so cool. Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm going to start reading a book on that whole movement and everything. So it's kind of got me interested in what happened in the 70s. Yeah. And it'll probably even take me to some of the other revivals in the past.
Yeah, and we've talked about it, especially before recording. It's just like we feel like this culture is, and we talked about it earlier, is very similar to mm-hmm. how the 70s were, but just in a different flavor.
Yeah.
And so I think what really comes out of the movie is that, yes, we are to love those that are not like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also share the truth and the gospel with them, knowing that they are searching for something that they can't find on earth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. Just think back to when God saved you. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, mm-hmm. Christ died for us. And so it was in our sins. So if he could love us where we're at, think about your low points. Think about mm-hmm. those moments in your life that you would not want people to know or see, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we all have those. It's like Christ died for us in those moments. It just so happens that there were people, living that out freely, living out their sin, but
and more visibly, yeah.
More visibly,
yeah.
Yep. And ours, and Lonnie Frisbee, go back and research his story. I mean, yeah. he was in some ways very tragic, but he came back to Christ, you know, late in life. It sounds like that's what mm-hmm. happened, but he walked away from the Lord. He walked away from all of that. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other topic we didn't get a chance yeah. to talk about, but you know, the movie was raw, and in real life, we're flawed people.
Yep.
And
for sure.
So if God could love us where we were at, then we ought to be able to love others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even including our kids or our parents or a colleague, you know, we're called to love them where they're at, you know, and love them enough that we pray for them and we try to engage them in such a way that they don't stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So very good. Great topic. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Sharing that. I hope so you guys enjoyed that today.
Go see the movie.
Yeah. Please go see the movie. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with somebody and like, subscribe, yeah, and share this with other people.
But, and tell us what you think about the movie.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you liked it, if you didn't like it.
We'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
And then tell us your hippie name if you feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Sunshine.
Sunshine.
The Wolf.
The Wolf.
I don't think it was the Wolf.
No, you didn't have an article.
There was no the.
It's just Wolf.
Okay, just Wolf. I'll go with that too. All right. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Bye.